John Brunner calls him consistently the most brilliant science fiction writer in the field. His name is Philip K. Dick, and why science fiction? Out of all the forms of literature you could have chosen, why SF? Was it a conscious decision?
Yes, there's more latitude in science fiction for the expression of pure ideas than you find in other genres.
Let's get rid of a couple of cliches first. SF is a ghetto. People say, yeah, it's a ghetto, and then on the other hand, they say it's a literature of ideas. All literature is supposed to be a literature of ideas, right? So why is it that science fiction gets tagged with that, and in the same breath is tagged as a ghetto, and people can put it down and pay a lot less money and get a lot less recognition and so forth?
Well, science fiction has changed a lot in the last few years. It's coming out of the ghetto. But all it's done is make it worse. I mean, the writing is worse now that it's coming out of the ghetto. Instead of getting better, it's getting worse because it's losing its identity, it's losing its shape. It's becoming like silly putty. I mean, you can now call anything you want science fiction, or you can decide not to call it science fiction. Like, I have a book coming out, the hardcover edition will be called mainstream, and the paperback is going to be sold as science fiction. If you buy the hardcover, you're reading a mainstream novel. If you buy the Valentine paperback, you're reading a science fiction novel. But the text is identical in the two. And they're bought simultaneously by Doubleday and Ballantyne, working in tandem. So if I were to talk to you about my novel, I'd have to ask you whether you read the Doubleday edition or the Ballantyne paperback edition. Now, if you read the Ballantyne paperback edition, I'd say, yes, that was a great science fiction novel. And if you read the Doubleday edition, I'd say, well, that was a great mainstream novel, wasn't it, Mike? It'd be hard put to figure out how to respond when it's strictly a way of packaging it. We're not talking about packaging and marketing. We're not talking about content at all. Like Sharon Jarvis at Doubleday read the first 80 pages. He says, well, there's no rocket ships in this book. That's not science fiction. I'm going to throw it down the hall of the other editors, the trade editors. Now let them market it. And Ballantyne looked at the manuscript and said, hot dog, this is wonderful science fiction. We're going to make millions. And then I said, you guys better get together. So I really don't know. I mean, it came out of the ghetto in the hardcover edition, and it went right back into the ghetto in the paperback edition.
Which do you hope sells more, the softcover with the SF tag or Doubleday mainstream?
I hope, oh boy, now you've really put me against the wall. That's a very evil question to ask.
That's right.
Because I can't answer without offending somebody. That is, I have to sit on two stools at once, and I have to, you know, hype the science fiction one, and I have to turn around and hype the mainstream one. I can't fault either one without immediately becoming a victim of my own trap.
Okay, well, let's see if we can rephrase it so it may not offend quite as many people.
I don't want to offend anybody. All right, inoffensive novel will not offend any reader anywhere. No bad words. That's another thing. It could not be published as science fiction by Doubleday because it had four-letter words in it. And their science fiction list does not allow four-letter words in the book. There were too many of them to remove them. If there had only been a few, like in Deus Iri, which they bought from me and Roger Zelazny, there were only a few four-letter words, so they inked them out, and they marketed as science fiction. And I had never known this before. I didn't know that the distinction between science fiction and mainstream was the number of four-letter words. But on this new one of mine, Larry Ashmead, the editor-in-chief at Doubleday, says, you can't take them out. They're necessary to the book. Therefore, we can't market it as science fiction. So we're down to basics now. If you want it marketed as a mainstream novel, you say bleep, bleep all the way through the book. And if you get enough bleep, bleeps in the book, they can't market it as science fiction because they figure most of the science fiction market is kids. You know, this is their theory. This is not my theory. But they're envisioning this audience, but with the thick glasses and the acne, you know, parting the hair in the middle, you know, and the overcoat guy bought at the Salvation Army in a suitcase of old magazines, and he has a felt pen that he wants you to sign every copy of every Astounding that he's got. That's their idea of the science fiction market. That's their idea. That's not my idea.
This is Doubleday, the premier hardcover?
Well, I'm not saying market. I mean Doubleday. I just mean them.
Them. Oh, yeah. The well-known
them. The well-known them. The people that run things.
So that's the distinction. If it's got enough four-letter words, it's not science.
That's right. And that's what I was told this by the editor-in-chief, who is now not with Doubleday. He went over to Simon Schuster. I think that
their homework. How does he explain, or did you ask him about somebody like Delaney with Dahlgren,
Well,
definitely SF, and it's got lots of 4- and 10-letter words.
Yeah, that's true. I read part of it. Holland and Olson, I agree, that's a terrible book. I mean, even though it had a lot of 4-letter and 10-letter words, it was still a terrible book. It should have been marketed as trash, is what it should have been. There's a category, you know, there's trash, just trashy novels.
Sci-fi and trashy novels. Yeah. Okay, why? Why is it a bad book? Is it just...
Oh, it's just a bad book. I don't have to go into that. I mean, it's not necessary that I be a literary critic. I don't know anything about that. That's not my field. I can't criticize. I just read Star Reading, and I said, this is the worst trash I've ever read. And I threw it away. And Harlan did the same thing, sitting up there in Sherman Oaks, where he lives on the pinnacle of that steep hill. Harlan is not in it for profit. Harlan is in it for the ideology of science fiction. He's
done
so much.
Harlan is leaving the field of science fiction.
He
says, "I write what I write." Yeah, he's doing his. I write Harlan Ellison stories. They're not science fiction.
That's a tautology. Harlan Ellison writes Harlan Ellison stories. That's you know, the predicate is implied by the subject. I listed the people for Publishers Weekly who had left science fiction recently. I didn't even think to add Harlan. I remember now. I did read Harlan's letter in FNSF, I believe, where he said, "America, sleep it or bleep it," regarding science fiction. Barry Maltzberg published the most marvelously crazy statement of the universe in all the history of science fiction. Nobody has ever bum-tripped science fiction as much as Barry Maltzberg did, you know, and I think he's a great writer, but that's not the way, you don't break up a marriage that way, and you don't leave science fiction that way, by saying everybody in it is rotten, everything that's ever been written is rotten, except what I wrote. That wasn't rotten, which is what Maltzberg said. But now he's going on to bigger and greater things. And then Vonnegut, this is what I said to publish, Vonnegut has always never written science fiction. He discovered when, upon looking back over his career, discovered he'd made a lot of money at some point, and at that point, retroactively, he, like the Pope, you know, everything I say is true, and I never was writing science fiction. Even if you read Player Piano and you thought it was science fiction, you were wrong. And Cat's Cradle, likewise, and Siren the Tide. They're not science fiction, because I say they're not.